The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, the high-flying San Jose Sharks are back at it again this afternoon. How are we all doing, everyone? It is a 5 o'clock go time on ESPN+. Remember to sync your TV to the broadcast on the Sharks Audio Network, sjsharks.com/listen, or on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. That way you'll get a home call with Dan Ruzanowski to listen to someone who, of course, knows the team inside and out. Not to throw any shade at ESPN. I have friends there. Our own Roxy Bernstein does calls. He knows the team as well, but I know that you guys want a home call, so I'm giving you the option. But we've got a lot to talk about with the San Jose Sharks, so I'm going to bring in the man who covers them for Bay Area News Group, Curtis Pashelka. Curtis, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I am laughing because the last time that we did an interview was back on, I believe, the 18th of October. It's roughly 3 weeks later, and the narrative is completely shifted on the San Jose Sharks. I guess to start out with, how surprised are you at the way things have turned around from that 0-4-2 start to now sitting at 7-6-3 on the season?
Well, I think you have to be, I'm not totally shocked, but yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of surprise in there just because of the quality of the opponents that, you know, the Sharks have beaten here recently. Obviously, you know, beating a Colorado in overtime, you know, beating New Jersey, Seattle up in Seattle pretty handily, and then, most recently getting a nice win at home there, just to put this Sharks team in a position where it could maybe think a little bit bigger about, you know, the goals what this team has had. I mean, the Sharks figured coming into this season that it would take a step forward this year after all the changes they made in the offseason. But, you know, the Western Conference is still pretty tightly packed right now, and the Sharks right now, as of Tuesday afternoon here, is just 1 point out of a playoff spot. So certainly that's got to be on the minds of some of these guys in that locker room there, where, you know, is this possible? Can we hang around and make a push towards the end of the season? Obviously, it's going to be a long year, but, you know, I think the Sharks team has a lot of room for optimism right now with while they're playing.
Mario Ferraro used the playoff word after the most recent victory, and I thought that was interesting because I think that it's probably been on their minds at previous points of previous seasons. Last year, when they won 3 in a row after losing their first 9 and then had a little bit of a run at the beginning of November, you know, they kind of crept back into that conversation, but no one dared mention it, it seemed. And now they are daring to mention it. I guess, how much is that indicative of how they feel that even though they played well last year, it's a totally different type of the way they're winning games this year?
Yeah, and I think it's indicative of also what the confidence they have in their roster, and especially the young guys on the team. Macklin Celebrini is having an unbelievable season so far. He's followed closely by Will Smith. And then, you know, it sounds like the Sharks will be getting William Eklund back tonight, too. So, you know, you put that together along with some of the veterans in the room who are playing well right now, and obviously you're getting tremendous goaltending. And so when you put all that together, it's it certainly gives the team some confidence going forward, and, you know, maybe a chance, because, you know, you look at it, like you mentioned Mario. I mean, he's been through it all, man, since he's been here. Yeah. a lot of lean times, a lot of tough years, since he's turned pro and come to the NHL. So you can't blame him for wanting to be on a really competitive team and be in a playoff chase once we get to February, March, and April here. So it's an exciting time for those guys, an exciting time for fans who have followed this team through the depths and are just now seeing some of that light ahead at the end of the tunnel here.
I don't know if you saw it on social media earlier today, Curtis, but someone put it out there. The Sharks lineup from November 27th, 2023. So, you know, pretty much 2 years ago, minus 2 weeks, roughly. And the only two players left from that roster are William Eklund and Mario Ferraro. I mean, I don't know how many rosters in the NHL have had that much turnover. I mean, the Sharks have churned through players like almost no other team that I can really remember as of late. But if you needed proof of it, that's the proof.
No, 100%. And, when the Sharks started this sort of teardown process, they brought in some players who were only going to be here for a short term anyway. And obviously some of the older players who were on long-term contracts were traded to more contending teams at the time. And so that was just kind of part of this process. But yeah, the upheaval that this team's been through. I don't know how many people have bought jerseys of players who are no longer on this team. Hopefully they didn't get the names in the back here too long. But yeah, no, it's just I think Mike Greer came in. He had a plan in place and what he wanted to do, and he had to turn over the roster and sort of hit rock bottom before things would start to pay off here. So I think now you've got at least a core group of young players who are going to be here for the long haul. Certainly there's going to be more changes ahead. I mean, this team still has a lot of pending unrestricted free agents, mm-hmm. So not everybody's going to be back. But I think that for the most part, the really, really heavy lifting that this team has undergone and the changes that have been made are mostly in the past, and it's about building going forward here.
A lot of this, of course, is centered around the play of Macklin Celebrini, who last year, Curtis, I watched him and I wasn't going out in public and saying it, but I told people privately, like, I think he's already looking like one of the best players in the NHL. I said, I know he's 18, but given the quality of the roster around him and the things that I see him do on both sides of the puck, I felt like it was ridiculous because he was 18 and he was a rookie, but I couldn't help but notice the way he played, and then the way he's come out this year, it seems like he's putting everyone on notice that, yeah, the reason that Sidney Crosby and Nathan MacKinnon were saying that I was the future of the NHL, that wasn't a falsehood. And, he just has such a competitive drive that's, really rare. He kind of, not to get too ahead of myself, but, you think of some of those guys that are almost sociopathic, like Larry Bird, like he kind of has that look in his eye sometimes, like, oh, you just pissed him off, he's going to go score now.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's that competitiveness you mentioned, that's a shared trait with a lot of the top players, not only in hockey, but like you mentioned, basketball and other sports. I mean, I can't remember how many times I've heard Macklin Celebrini being compared to Sidney Crosby and the shared traits that those two have in terms of their competitiveness, their compete, battle level, their skating ability, obviously their skill set too. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's been pretty fun to watch here to see how Macklin Celebrini has grown this year and how much his teammates are sort of feeding off it. I think he senses that, he's a guy that, we mentioned Mario wanted to get to the playoffs. Well, I guarantee you Macklin Celebrini's thinking that same thing too with this Sharks team. He doesn't want to be patient and wait another year or two. He wants to get there right now. And obviously in the back of his mind, he wants to try to make the Canadian Olympic team, mm-hmm. That's going over to Italy in February. I don't want to say he's clinched a spot there, but I would be almost surprised at this point if he wasn't included on that team. So certainly a lot of things that Sharks fans have a lot to look forward to with him and for Macklin Celebrini's teammates as well.
How much does the NHL love it right now that you've got Nathan MacKinnon, who's on a heater at the top of the scoring list right now, but then it's Carlson, it's Celebrini, and it's Bedard all right there, these three future talents who are kind of representing the future of the NHL. And then you've got still Sid up there at the top of the goals list. And then, yesterday, Connor McDavid makes one of the most disgusting spin move backhand goals that we've seen. I don't know if not ever.
Yeah, you can certainly make a case and argument can be made that the skill level of the NHL right now has never been greater. I mean, you see these young guys coming in who were just drafted last year, the year before. They're coming in and they're making huge impacts on their team. That hasn't always happened throughout the history of the league. Usually these young guys are going to have to pay their dues a little bit before they start to really stand out. But this is, like you said, this kind of crosses three generations here from the guys like Sid and much of the current stars like Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid to the younger guys right now with Macklin and Will and Leo Carlson and Connor Bedard too is obviously having a tremendous start as well. So it's certainly an exciting time in the NHL. You can turn on any game you want and see a player that's exciting to watch and fans who want to see those type of players every night. So yeah, it's a fun time in the league right now.
It's also the engagement that I notice, because it seems like more and more people who are not what I would consider quote unquote hockey fans are asking me about the Sharks and are asking me about Macklin and are asking me also about Connor Bedard as well, because it seems like the NHL, and I guess we can talk about that deal that they did with TNT specifically to kind of get them more in the limelight and putting Gretzky on that show and, putting established names that people really, really know, copying what, they had done with the NBA show. But, people are identifying these stars more, and I'm watching more and more people kind of tune in. And, you can look at it in the micro with San Jose, but the macro overall, is that something that you're paying attention to as well?
Well, certainly, you have to credit individual teams in the league for trying different ways to reach out to new fans, and it's not always going to be in front of the television set. It's like you said, it's going to be on TikTok, it's going to be on Instagram, it's going to be on YouTube Shorts and these type of things where, players not only get to showcase their skills are being showcased. But also their personalities are also kind of being shown too. And people are getting to know these guys a little bit more than just what they see on the ice. And I think that certainly helps fans sort of develop, help these guys sort of develop a following and people more interested in the sports. When you're in that sort of industry and it doesn't matter how you reach your audience, but you certainly have to sort of be creative in ways to sort of create interest in your brand and what you're doing. If these younger guys sort of connect with some of the younger generation and longtime hockey fans appreciate what's the kind of skill level we're seeing right now and the excitement level throughout the league, it can only help sort of build your audience and through all platforms, I guess.
If we look at the Sharks and the way their defense is tightened up to where they're only allowing one and two goals through, I think now, six consecutive games, is it just the net minding or do we see more defensive structure overall?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a combination. I think goaltending has been, you mentioned this little stretch here. It's just been unbelievable. I mean, I think it's been a 950 save percentage here over these last few games. I don't know how sustainable that is for these guys, but I think the Sharks are doing a better job in terms of cutting down on the high danger chances against. I mean, certainly you get games like, like the third period against Florida there where they just try to pour it on and try to get the equalizer. And then, the game against, Colorado, you could say the same thing where, they definitely outchanced the Sharks, but they got the goaltending that night. And maybe the Sharks did a pretty good job in terms of letting their goaltender see the puck and blocking shots and doing all these little things that sort of help create, give them an opportunity to win games. I think, the Sharks started, talking about the start of the year as how they needed to do a better job of protecting the third period leads. And last year, it was kind of an adventure when the Sharks went into the third period. You didn't know quite what was going to happen. But, the 4-0-1 this year when they carry a lead into the third period, and that shows, tremendous growth from this team from one year to the next. And so that's certainly a lot of things you got. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that things are going to continue to be like that way going forward. But so far, I think the Sharks have shown a more maturity in their game, more calmness in their game. Their goaltending, like you said, has been terrific here. And so we'll see what happens here going forward. But certainly, like, the Sharks are starting to lay the foundation and the groundwork for how they want to play going forward.
William Eklund is expected to be back in the lineup tonight for San Jose, coming off of an injury. Before he had the injury, he was playing the best hockey of his career, and Ryan Warsowski talked about it, and I think it was evident to all of us. And what I really saw is just that he was being the driver of that line. He was working centrally, getting between the dots, and also which allowed, you know, Philip Kurashev and Alex Wenberg to pick up a high number of points and be involved in a number of opportunities they were creating. Also, I think it allowed Alex Wenberg to focus a lot more on the defensive end of things, knowing that Eklund was driving things on the other side. What were you seeing with Eklund that suddenly made his game, just in my eyes, just pop so much more?
Well, the compete level, I think, was really impressive for him. Obviously, he's using his speed. He's getting more to the middle of the ice right now. Maybe in past years, or, you know, his first or second year in the league, he was a little bit more perimeter. Maybe tried to be a little bit too fancy with, you know, east-west type play. I think he's been a little more attacking the nets recently. And, you know, I think the offense is certainly sort of indicative of that too. He's really creating a lot of chances, getting to the nets. And don't forget that second line too, with like Wenberg and Kurashev, they've also usually got to try to match up against the other team's top line. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if that line is out on the ice quite a bit tonight against the Kaprizov line. So yeah, I mean, I would totally agree with you there that he was playing the best hockey of his career right before he had to start sitting out because of an injury. So we'll see how soon he can sort of recapture things here and, you know, kind of get back to where he was. I don't think it should take him too long, but, you know, obviously when you're coming off an injury and missing some time, maybe it takes a little bit of some time to sort of get back in a rhythm. But certainly a lot of things to be excited about if you're a William Eklund fan going forward, and what kind of year he can have here
with Ryan Warsowski. For the first time, he is managing success, and I would say I expect the Sharks to cool down, because I think that's the rational thing to say. Maybe they don't. I can't see the future. I just have to assume they will cool down. But that would be the first time in a long time that a Sharks coach would have to manage, you know, a cool down and try and turn it back up again. It seems like that's a new challenge for this squad that we haven't seen before. Because, I mean, you've written about it. We haven't seen this, you know, I would argue since the 2018-2019 season when they went to the Western Conference Final, to play this well over, you know, 3 weeks.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think what the Sharks, like you said, it's unrealistic for us to expect, or anyone to expect, the Sharks to, you know, have an 800 points percentage over the long haul here. I think there are going to be ups and downs, and it's how the Sharks manage that going forward. We'll sort of determine whether or not they can stay in the playoff mix here for a spot. But what I think the Sharks are confident in, though, is that they do have sort of the blueprint for how they want to play. And if they get away from it, they know how to get back to it. And I think that's what the Sharks talked about, you know, after that game, after their games this weekend over Winnipeg and Florida, was, you know, they know it works for them, and they know how they have to play and to have success. And so, you know, if you do just start to drift away from that a little bit, and, you know, the Sharks, at least at this point, know that they have this sort of blueprint and that foundation of how they need to play. And so the key for any good team is, for most good teams anyway, that make the playoffs, is that they don't have these, you know, 2, 3, and 4 game losing, or, like, you know, 3 or 4 game losing streaks, that they're able to sort of nip those things in the bud once they hit a rough patch here. So that would be the challenge for the Sharks team here, is that when they do sort of hit a rough patch, how can they battle out of it and make sure these 2 or 3 game streaks don't turn into 4 or 5, because it's sort of hard to rebound after after you go through something like that. So we'll see. But I think the Sharks feel pretty good about their game and their structure and how they're playing right now going forward, and their ability to sort of keep that sort of blueprint going forward here too.
Again, that is Curtis Peschelka of Bay Area News Group joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And again, we are out of time. Pre-game 4:30, go time 5 o'clock right here as the San Jose Sharks take on the Minnesota Wild. Then it is off to Calgary, and Saturday they are in Seattle taking on the Kraken. Three winnable games as the Sharks are riding a three-game win streak. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yang.
Nice by Graf. Wide. It's going to be no icing as Wendberg gets to it and scores.
Finally.
Alex Wendberg sensed that there could have been an icing call there because Graf poked that puck wide. It went off the end board.